Welcome to the CCF Podcast. We're a campus ministry at Truman State University. This podcast features sermons from our weekly worship services. Thanks for listening.
Good evening, everyone. Really good to see you. I don't know what happened. Why are the cool kids laughing at me? Welcome back. Really good to see you. Midterms going to be okay? Everyone surviving? Syntax is in order, among other things, okay? You can do it, I bet. Tonight's sermon is entitled Happy Media Fast, My Little Babies. Love Isaiah. Thank you, Isaiah, for the title. I hope that many of you are participating in the Media Fast. People have been out for Prophet's Platter, the Lunch and Isaiah readings. We came to the Prayer Labyrinth last night. We've got Hot Tea Warm Reads tonight. You heard about the things that are going on. But I hope that you have chosen to fast from something in your own life. And we're going to deal with the Media Fast via Isaiah tonight. And it begins this way. At my house, where I live as a father, I have the responsibility to decide what is best for my children, along with my wife, Tabitha. And in our house, we do family media fast every time they come around. Max is doing this right now because he gets so excited about the media fast. And so actually, as we were kicking this one off, I went downstairs to find the marker board so I could write on it, you know, happy media fast, my little babies. And when I found the whiteboard, it still had this from the last time that we did it. So like each time usually, this is Max's modified version. You don't have to see it exactly, but like I dug it out downstairs and this was still mostly intact on there. So what I had said was happy media fast, my little babies. No screens or music, so just Max's life is over. And then, yes, you know, because it's substantive, so what are we going to do? We're going to play football. We're going to go to the prayer lab. We're going to cook dinner. We're going to whatever, you know, the yeses, and this is collaborative. So this was like, let's add your own things. You know, you want to give up something in addition to screens and music? Go for it. You want to add in some other stuff that you think we should do? And this was how it started. And then when I was gone one night during last semester's Media Fast, Max, he modified it with this little cartoon, which you can see here, right here. Okay. So it's gotten like kind of erased, but I think if my interpretation is correct, it goes, here's Max, here's Dad. Dad has no arms, I guess. Next frame. Here's Max prostrate, bowing to his father, saying, please, Dad, please, I'm begging you. And you can guess if I am a stern and inflexible father or not. And there will be a clue in the next one, because what's erased, I think, is a flamethrower or a bazooka or something. No more media fast is Max to a now horizontal father. And then this is, I think this is right. So that all happens, and now we move down here. I think this is a TV. This is Max with an arm up, lounging on the couch, reaching in to eat cereal, crunch. I'm pretty sure all of Max's dreams came true in this little revenge fantasy regarding the media fast. Okay. Believe it or not, Max is doing it again this week, along with the rest of the family. Ellie, I trust that you abided by the no music thing while we were all gone for 6 hours last night. Mm-hmm, okay. So we're doing it again. It's hard, you know, but it's good. So actually, so far, Max and I have played a ton of football in the last couple of days. He's like an NFL receiver, just hauling passes in. If anybody thinks they can guard him, Tyler took a shot at it, got roasted. Just let me know if you want to try to guard him. He's always ready. We drove down for Jude's football game to Moberly yesterday. So if you have a family, like this is, if you just have hours of quiet in the car because you're not doing music or podcasts or whatever, we were maybe driving to Lawrence this next weekend, and I was like, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I was like, it's me and Max for 4 hours both ways in the car in one day. I love Max, but what am I going to talk to a seven-year-old about for 8 hours? This doesn't make any sense. The tournament was canceled, mercifully. God lives. But yesterday, we drove to Moberly, a mere hour each way. It was me, Tab, and Max in the car. And, you know, initially he's losing his mind because usually we get to Macon and then he can play a game, Subway Surfer or something, on the iPad. And so we get to Macon and he's, like, primed for, like, ah. Oh. And so he's just extra devastated. On the way back after the football game, it's late. Three of us are driving back. He's tired. He's hungry. And he goes, well, this is a calm ride, isn't it? This is just so quiet and calm, isn't it? And Tab and I were like, this is quiet and calm. This is kind of nice. And he's like, well, this is calm, isn't it? And then we look back like 5 seconds later. He refused to take a pillow and blanket, but we took one anyway. And he's laid with his feet up on the thing, dead asleep, just conked out under his blanket. This kid, we drive back from Kansas City, midnight, doesn't matter. He never falls asleep in the car because he can subway surf for the last, you know, hour or whatever. God exists and had mercy on Max. And we had just a calm ride back. For you who are participating in some way, so far, have you seen a glimpse of anything? Maybe it's hard, but you've taken a breath. You've had a quiet moment that you wouldn't have otherwise had. Has there been a glimmer of good? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Just turn to somebody near you. If you're not doing the media fast, talk about, you know, some cool media you experienced in the last couple of days. It's, I mean, really, it's fine. Like, this is, it's fine. And think about doing the fast next time. But take 30 seconds. Just turn to someone near you. What's been a good thing from it, or good media? All right, it sounds like we got some good stuff. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. We are hoping to be participatory about our fast here together. So thank you for those sharings. Now let's flip it. It's Monday night. The media fast started what day? Monday. We got back from the retreats, and then Monday was the idea. You know, come back, binge all your stuff, and then we'll start back into it on Monday morning. So it's Monday, and I've had a great first day of media fasting. No music, no podcasts, no screens, where I know what that means. I got to email on my computer and do my schoolwork, but then, you know, I don't need screens for other stuff. And it's been great, and I'm shocked again at how, like, I live 10 minutes outside of town now, so I drive, I don't know, 45 minutes in a day, and I'm like, usually I can listen to a whole album from the time that I leave in the morning till I get back, and now it's just quiet in the car, so I'm seeing things. I'm in tune prayerfully. Music is great, by the way, so enjoy music other times. But it's Monday, and I'm doing that, and I'm going strong. And now it's late at night, and the whole family things are winding down. Dinner's done. Everyone's getting to bed. I'm making Jude's lunch for his football game the next day. I'm cleaning up the kitchen. I'm making coffee for the next day. And normally, this is like my little private kitchen unwind time for the day. So stretching, ideally not super late, but sometimes it gets late. And so usually I listen to a podcast, listen to a music while I'm cleaning up the kitchen, doing stuff in there. I'm in the kitchen. It's just quiet. I'm like, this is fine. I can deal with this. I'm a human person with a human soul. I'm on the search for God, who is found in stillness and quiet, and here I am searching. And it's great. So I go an hour and a half, and then I'm working on schoolwork. I'm working on sermon. I'm working on things. And it's like now it's getting later, and I'm getting tireder. And I don't know how to explain this to you except to say I'm like a fairly disciplined, committed, like some would say inflexible sort of person about rules and boundaries and all of that. And I know, let's review. I heard someone one time say that. It's weird. Let's review. For me, no music, no podcasts, no screens.
Okay.
So picture this. I'm sitting at my kitchen table. It's 1:05 a.m. I'm wrapping stuff up. I'm getting tired, so I need to go to bed. And then I know what the things are that I'm going to do and not do. It's like, it's nice. I just have books and paper, and I love paper. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, I wonder what Nick Wright had to say about the Chiefs game yesterday. Well, I pre-wondered. I knew I was going to wonder, but I don't care that much. Like, when he's right, it's like I had the same thought. And when he's, you know, off, I'm like, that's weird. But it's fine. But I was like, I can deal with a week of not knowing what Nick Wright from Kansas City had to say about the Chiefs game yesterday, which is what I thought. Satan had other ideas, because the next thing I knew, here's me just like looking at like, oh, yeah, that is true, Nick, right? Yeah, you're right about that. And I'm like, wait, where did this get behind me, Satan? But it just sat right there, inert. And there was me, just googly-eyed. And then I'm like, well, the Bengals would kind of need to revel in this for a second. I wonder what he had to say. And then it was just there. I just thought it, and then it was just there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is nice, isn't it? This is no, nothing against Joe Burrow. This is nice. We can enjoy this. And then, like, I don't – what is going on? Who am I? I was like, what the – so then it's an hour later. These aren't that long. It's 1 hour later. And this is how I come back to consciousness. Here's me at the kitchen table. Here's my laptop computer. My forehead is down on it like this. And I just wake up and look around. And I was like, I was watching about the Eagles? Who cares about the – nobody cares what he had to say about the Eagles. And I'm just sitting there like, it's 2 a.m. What? This is the first day of the Media Fest. What is wrong with me? What is – I've failed miserably. And since then, it's been gorgeous. Turn to anybody. I hope that all of you haven't failed already. It's been 2 days. Give me a break. Have you failed? Is there a – like, where's the part that, like, draws you and you're tempted and you had to, you know, resist hard, or you succumbed or whatever? And again, if you're not fasting, just talk about some good media. Turn to your neighbor for just a second. Just share the flip side. Go ahead.
Yesterday, yeah.
You all are. You now know.
Everybody knows they are.
I'm gonna have so much catching up to do next week. I'm gonna be watching reruns of First Things First.
Get ahead on your homework right now while you can.
Seriously.
Fruits of my fast. How do I know I like the Chiefs?
I don't believe you do. What time you got?
Not quite as much chatter as with the good stuff, so I assume that means that most of you are better than me, and that is good. But thank you for your sharings. I had a picture of me that night. That was me. So in 1996, David Foster Wallace wrote this gigantic novel called Infinite Jest, which Stephanie has read. I started 7 years before her, and she finished it before me. In Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace talks about the entertainment. An entertainment so pure and perfect and total that people find themselves in the bind of being like this in front of it. The spiral eyes, they are in the novel, it's, you know, fictionalized, they are literally incapable of moving, and so it kills them. People sit there, they're incontinent, they don't eat or drink for days, and then they die sitting staring at the screen, which in 1996 was a cartridge and a TV, whatever. We have surpassed him by far by now, right? That's some of you can relate to. Here is us. Screens are good. Technology is good. Media is good. We have a habit of warping and misusing good things, which is why we're inviting you to participate with us in the Media Fest. And for some of you, so this is actually my friend Dom Scalise. I was like, I need some art for the Media Fast, and Dom always knows the exact right thing. The first one was sloth. These are the seven deadly sins. I'm like, I've just got a couple up here. So for me, the slothful dude is like, he's sitting right there, and I'm wanting to do other stuff, do homework, go to bed. I was very tired after consecutive 2 a.m.s of the men's retreat, but I had another one immediately after. That's slothfulness. Not sleeping all the time, refusing to sleep when it is the right time to sleep so that I can... Okay, that's me, that's sloth. Maybe some of you identify. This one is, any guess if you remember the seven deadly sins? Any stab at what this might be? Lust, pride, envy. I heard most of them. Okay, so we got a good shot at getting it. It's pride, actually. According to the artist, whatever. Pride. Okay, the next one, maybe that's you. Any guesses here? Gluttony? Oh, trigger warning. These are disturbing, by the way. But, because the phenomenon that we're describing about ourselves is disturbing. So it's not for no reason. Okay, what's this one? Envy question mark. Who said wrath? Wow, what a genius. I looked at it for a long time. This, according to the artist, wrath here. I don't know if you see this, if you feel this. There are these little there is a lot of violence in the background. If you look, there's a target, there's crosshairs up there, there's a lot of violence in the back room, in the background. Anyway, for some of you, my hope is that in these days of media fasting, in stepping back and in having to do the hard work of staying back, that you find in yourself this mysterious pull toward what is not a good thing, but not in quite the right way or at the right time. And this affords us the opportunity to interrogate ourselves about that and to turn to God in the midst of that to try to become more fully ourselves as God's children in the world. That's our hope for the Media Fast. Happy Media Fast, my little babies. So starting with this, our experience so far, some of these failures, I know for me, maybe for some of you, repentance is in order, already. A confession of, I can't quite do the thing that I want to do that it seems like is a good and right thing to do, and why can't I do that? So I'm going to ask you, if you would stand. We'll go to the next one comes. I will invite you at this point to just listen along as I pray this prayer of repentance, and you can join in your spirits. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. You can have a seat. So what is the issue that we're digging up here in media fasting and coming up against some allure, some draw, some inability in ourselves to turn from what is lesser toward what is good? The Isaiah part here, this is a little section that we're going to have before us tonight. In the middle, God tells Isaiah to tell the people, say to this people, keep on hearing noise, 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 music pods, noise, 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 noise. But do not understand, no center to process, to incorporate. Keep on seeing, the computer, the screen, see it, all right, scroll it. But do not perceive, don't see what's going on. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. To me, I tried to get out of chapter 6 of Isaiah to help read out with the rest of the book of Isaiah. But for now, I've got these five verses really locked down in a couple of sermons. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. I hear this. I feel this. I see this. I wonder if some of you do. I'm in a situation of total noise, visual noise, auditory noise. It literally is. It's with us. It never leaves us. In a situation of total noise, who do we become? What do we become? What does God see when he looks at us trying to live faithfully in a situation of total noise? And this is, I felt myself here. And so the prayer of repentance that we just did, that's a nice, liturgical, covers all its bases. It's a great prayer. You can incorporate it into your own regular prayer life. You should. But there's another way from this chapter, chapter 6 of Isaiah, there's another way of conceiving of repentance and what is needed, and especially of our dynamic with God in this process of turning and hiding and trying to turn back and be found. And so some of you are familiar with this passage. We've dealt with it a little bit so far this semester. If you'd stand, we have this is another way of conceiving of our own finding ourselves in this bind and our response to it. And it comes from the middle of this chapter. This one's going to be a little call and response-y. Yeah, 2-4 and then right there. So this one, if you will, join me with the bold face. Those are your lines, bold face, and then I'll do the italicized. You're the bold, I'm the italicized. And this is from our benediction when Isaiah has the vision of God seated on the throne and the seraphim flying and holy, 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 glory, glory, glory. This is what immediately follows. This is Isaiah's response to not only seeing but perceiving the God who is there and the truth about himself and the people that he lives with and the situation of total noise. This is repentance part two for us. If you'll take a breath. And we say, we are undone. And we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord of hosts. Okay, let's do it again. With the bigger gap before the last line, let's pause there a second and I'll lead you before we get there. And we say, we are undone. And we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord of hosts. Amen. You can have a seat. This is Isaiah's response. And some of you may remember what immediately follows is that one of the seraphim flying around God, hovering God's glory, comes down with tongs, takes a burning coal from the altar, and approaches Isaiah, presses it to his lips. Behold, this coal has touched your lips. Shh. Your guilt is gone. Your sin, it's atoned for. There's a poem that I was pointed to from Robert Alter here, where a guy imagines this encounter, Isaiah and the burning of the lips. And he takes it one step further, and I like what he does. It makes sense in the context of the passage. In the poem, he describes this encounter, what is happening in Isaiah. And then after the seraph has taken and burned his lips, before you speak, know what you're talking about. After he's done that, purified Isaiah painfully in a situation of total noise, just shut up for a minute. So he purges him, he purifies him. And then the poem says, the seraph with his pointy fingers reaches in, this is a real Russian poem, Indiana Jones style, into Isaiah's chest, actually it's a sword, cuts open the cavity, reaches in, pulls out Isaiah's heart, and takes the burning coal and puts it inside Isaiah. So now the prophet, woe is me, I am undone, unclean lips, I live in a people of unclean lips, his lips have been pressed, sealed, purified. Only now is he ready to speak the true words of God. Not only are his lips purified and tamed, but so in his heart, the same word, God's word, now rests in Isaiah's heart. So the image is of Isaiah undone at the presence of God, And now sent out to the people with God's stamp on his lips and with God's present, his light inside his heart, now Isaiah is sent out. And when we think about repentance and we think about what in the world are we trying to do, figuring out how to live in the world, there's this move where we need to shut up and see where we need to repent and do it so that the inner chaos of us has some semblance of a centeredness. We can hear God before we speak. But it's not just a little individualized self-improvement project where God just wants, okay, calm you down a little bit. Okay, calm you down a little bit. Okay, calm you down a little bit. It's not just for your own private thing. God's mission is now, he takes the same coal, the same purifying force, animates Isaiah with it, brings him back to life, pumps blood through the rest of his body so he can now go out in his mission in the world to bring this message to the people, to speak repent and shalom back to the people. And I like this image of the glowing coal in the mouth and the glowing coal in the heart and Isaiah going out in that way. And I think for us, we can picture in our repentance, in our attempts to pay attention and see what it is that God might want to point out to us, how we need to change, this move from the inside, the inward focus, that takes discipline and hard work and you're going to screw up. But that's necessary, and it's coupled with God doesn't just want us, a whole bunch of little lights right in here, our own selves or our own bits together. Now God animates us to send us out in the world to be God's messenger, to do the kind of work to light up the dark that's all around. I had an idea that we were actually in the middle of the sermon going to do, like, enact this. We're going to do a little prayer walk out around campus. Have all these lights. It's going to burn your lips. It's going to stick in your heart and send you out there. It's going to take too long. It's not going to work. We did go to the prayer labyrinth last night, so if you were there, you walked around with a light. Here's what I want to tell you. In your life, especially your life on campus, as you go, I hope that your repentance, your attempts at faithfulness are in an effort to live in the world where God has put you faithfully. And so when you're in class on campus and when you're living with your annoying roommates and when you're doing your clubs and everything, playing sand volleyball, did you guys win, Anthony? Dang it. Repent. When you are just at on campus, living your own life, my hope is that you see the people around you, when we're trying to be still and to be quiet, we're cutting off some of the noise, so that we can hear what God thinks by coming into contact with what already confuses us and what we think. We can begin to understand and not just hear. And when we're doing our work of repentance and trying to live faithfully, it's so that we can see, be hit with lots of stuff to see, but that we can perceive through that, beyond that, cut through some of the nonsense to understand, like, what are the real fears and pitfalls? What are the real joys and glories that are happening around us? Like, how is God moving in the people that we know, in the relationships among us and out into campus? God is sending us, and check this out. It's two parts. We are Isaiah in some way here. Like, we have received that message. Christ, the light, is ripped out our heart, given us a new heart that beats and can learn to beat in sync with his. We can be Christ in the world. We are also always, obviously, the stubborn, deaf, and blind people to whom the message is being given. And this is the tension, this is the paradox that we walk in. This is why we media fast. We need to be reminded and to learn ourselves how to hear, how to see, to not become hypocritical and thinking that we have the answer. As we are also absolutely animated to bring that message and Christ's light to the world around us. We are the messengers, and we are the ones receiving the message. Has anyone seen a movie called Unbreakable? Stephanie has. It's the one guy, right? It's early from What's His Head? M. Night Shyamalan, yeah. It's way back when. I saw it in college. There's a scene in this movie, Unbreakable. It's Bruce Willis. It's some like superhero thing, I guess, but it's like a superhero movie that I can handle. He's like learning these weird things about himself, that he has like these strange powers, but like way later on, whatever. As he's figuring it out, there's a scene where he realizes when he touches other people, he can understand them. He can see scenes from their life. He can feel their pain just by being with a person, laying a hand on them. Bruce Willis, the guy, he's like startled to learn this, but he like baby steps into figuring out this is what's going on. And so he becomes, instead of just a person in a crowd walking around doing his job, clocking in, clocking out, blah blah blah, he like starts to get curious about this, and so he becomes like, he puts himself in the presence of other people, like intentionally, in order to not just see them but try to perceive, to not just hear them but try to understand. And there's, you know, this weird like power that makes that happen. And there's a scene where this is like all coming to fruition, where he just goes into the middle, as a big city, he just goes into the middle of like a crowded intersection sidewalk, and he just stands there, kind of like a hood down, just kind of standing, so he'll be bumped into. And as people bump into them, it flashes to like scenes from their life, painful things that, like, you just see this person, you wouldn't have known that their grandma died this morning. You just see this person, you wouldn't have known that they're scared they're going to lose their job. You wouldn't have known. And people bump into him, and it's like overwhelming to him because he can just like see it. And in the movie, part of what he does is begin to like address some of those things in ways that he can. I think about this scene all the time. This is how I think about what we're trying to do on campus. As Christ has burned our lips to shut up, as Christ's light has come alive inside us, I think that we're placed not only on campus, but in your families and in your lives, wherever you're going to go, whatever the circles are, whoever's bumping into you in your life, we're placed there as God's ambassadors, his messengers, to try to perceive what's happening here, to try to hear and understand what is going on. And we don't need a savior complex about it. Like, this is why we are always the one being spoken to as well as the one speaking. God is the one doing the work, but he really does do it through us. He's looking for us to join with him in the restorative work that he's trying to do. And it requires that we ourselves be attentive to us, ourselves, and the inner chaos and the noise and the situation of total noise. Like, that's why we're doing it. It's not just to turn away from, like, what otherwise would be like the fun that we could have. Man, I wish I could watch Nick Wright. It's not just to turn away from that. It's to turn toward becoming exactly who we are supposed to be and who God wants us to be. It's turning from the lesser thing to the better. And as we turn to the better, we join with God in his suffering work of bringing about the good and the better thing. And it's freaking painful. And it's a minor annoyance to not listen to music for a week. But it is actually a big step toward getting us toward the place where we can start to hear and understand, to see and perceive. My prayer for you, what I had hoped to do tonight with a whole cool, you know, like burn your lips and your heart thing and go out and do it, you're just going to, you're going to have to conjure up the image in your mind, okay? As you leave, as you walk around the rest of this week for the Media Fast, the rest of this semester, as you leave Truman and as you go to wherever you're going to go, my hope, my prayer for you, is that in being undone, in having God's gaze firmly on you and being undone, that you also experience your heart ripped open, your chest ripped open, your heart pulled out, and that same fire of God inside you. Not fire like now you're going to go out and rah-rah whatever, but now you're going to follow Christ to death for the good of the world. Would you stand? Go to the other one. Come, sorry. Right there, perfect. And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And as the music people go ahead and come up, we're just going to end with the bold italicized part there. I'm going to hit you with the first part, and then if you guys will respond with the second half after the comma, we're going to do that a couple of times to close this out. Keep on hearing. Keep on seeing. Keep on hearing. Keep on seeing. One more time. Keep on hearing. Keep on seeing. Amen.